you have your Bible this morning and want to share the reading of God's Word, we're going to go to a familiar text found in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. So Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading with verse number 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse number 22. The Bible said, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship that the disciples were in, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out in fear, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, without a shadow of a doubt, you are the Son of God." And I want to stop reading right there this morning. Just ask that you bow your heads and let's pray together and ask the Lord for his favor, for his help in ministering the word. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We are thankful this morning, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us together and that we have sensed your presence as we have worshiped and as we have praised, as we have lifted you up in song. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of your word, and I would just simply ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of your word this morning, that you would cause our hearts to be enlightened with what you would have us to hear today. I pray that you would put your word in my mind, in my heart, and in my mouth, and that what is spoken would come forth under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. Of my own self, I can do nothing. I look to you as the author and finisher of my faith. I look to you for my sufficiency. Enable me. Give me divine capability to be an instrument in the hand of the Lord this morning. Anoint me to be a blessing. And let your people be blessed and edified. And let the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted and be lifted up. And we will give you the praise and give you the thanks for it throughout eternity. And we ask it in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want to title my message this morning, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. If you want to walk on water, you got to be willing to get out of the boat. Many people like to point to this setting of Scripture and talk about how that Peter failed when he saw the wind and the boisterous waves, and how that he began to sink. Well, this morning, I really don't want to key in on that a whole lot. I'm just really impressed with the fact that he walked on water. Hello? But how many of you know he would have never walked on the water if he had never got out of the boat? So if you want to walk on water, you got to be willing to get out of the boat. This morning, I want to first draw your attention to verse number 22. If you still have your Bible open, look at verse number 22. The Bible says that Jesus constrained his disciples. He constrained them to get in a ship and go over to the other side. Thayer's definition of Greek word says that the word constrain means that he compelled them by force. He forcefully urged them. He forcefully, amen, urged them to get in the ship and go over to the other side. The very fact that this word constrained is used, amen, points to the fact that there must have been some resistance on their part. There must have been some resistance upon their part to go. The very fact that the word constrained is used, it must mean that there was some argument about going. Jesus says to the disciples, get in the ship, get in the boat, and go over to the other side. And he forcefully had to tell them. He forcefully had to say, come on, guys, listen, don't backtalk me. Don't argue with me. Just get in the boat and go. He constrained them. He forcefully urged them. He forcefully compelled them. And let me just allow this morning the opportunity to point out why constraint was necessary. If you read chapter 14 of the book of Matthew, you will read that this setting of text, our text this morning, happened right after Jesus had fed the multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let me refresh your memory. The Bible said that John the Baptist had been put to death. Jesus takes his disciples and he goes to the backside of the wilderness to find some solace and solitude. They get on the backside of the wilderness and the multitudes begin to follow him. And Jesus, the Bible said, looked upon them and had compassion. And instead of getting solace and solitude, he got a multitude who wanted to hear him teach and wanted to hear him preach. And before he sends them away, he tells the disciples, amen, feed them before they leave. They've been with me for 3 days. I don't want them to faint along the way headed back to town. Feed them. And the disciples said, we don't have anything to give them. You can read the story both in the book of Matthew and in the book of John. Andrew said, there's a little boy here that's got a sack lunch. It's not much. It's just 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, it'll be plenty. And he causes them to sit down. And he causes them to sit down in companies of 50. And the Bible said that he took that little lunch, that 5 loaves and 2 fish, And he blessed it, and then he began to break it, and he gave it back to the disciples to distribute among the multitude. And the Bible said when all of them had eaten, everybody was filled. Everybody had had more than plenty. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments. Amen. And John tells us that the number of people that ate that day were about 5,000 men, besides the women and the children. Now just stop and think about that for a moment. 5,000 men besides the women and the children. If just half of the men were married, that would be about 7,500 people. If just half of those people who were married there, and I bet you there were more than half of them that were married, so there's about 7,500 besides the women and the children. Add some women to the fact, and then add a couple of kids to the family. And you're well over 10,000 people. Could have been 15,000 people. And he feeds the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Bible says that the people were so blown away by the miracle that they saw that they wanted to forcefully take Jesus and make him king. You won't read it in our text. You won't read it in the book of Matthew, but you will read it in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse number 15. The Bible says that the people wanted to take Jesus by force and proclaim him to be king. John 6 and 15 says, "And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone." So in other words, not only were the people ready to forcefully take Christ and make him their king, but the disciples were so impressed with the miracle that they too were caught up in all of the excitement, and they were ready to forcefully take Christ and proclaim him as king. And Jesus said, "It's not time yet. It's not time for that to happen yet. It's not time for me to be recognized as Messiah and King." And so he constrains his disciples. "Not now. Get in the boat and go over to the other side." Jesus disperses the crowd and sends the disciples to the other side to keep them from proclaiming him as Messiah and appointing him as their king. And you might be sitting here this morning and thinking, "Pastor Gary, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a good thing that they recognize him as Messiah and proclaim him as king?" But we must understand what Jesus already knew. Jesus knew at that point in time that there was not a throne waiting for him, but he was going to the cross. The Jews, in the mind of the Jews, they understood the prophecies concerning Christ coming and ruling and his government never coming to an end. They understood the prophecies that he would sit upon his father David's throne, amen, forever and ever, and of his kingdom there would be no end. They understood the prophecies of him being a king and ruler over all the earth. But what they didn't see was the cross. And Jesus said, "I haven't come to be proclaimed as king yet. There's a cross between me and the outcome. There's a cross to bear before I get to the glory." Hello? And so he constrains his disciples. They understood the scriptures of Jesus ruling over all of the earth, the Jews, but they did not discern his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And in my mind this morning, the Jews, amen, they expected the Messiah to come and to lead a revolt against the Roman Empire and set up his government. Amen. They were expecting Jesus to set them free and give them liberty from Rome. And Jesus said, my time has not yet come, but I've come to go to Calvary, and then my government shall come. I'm here to tell you this morning that his government will come. Amen. His government will come. Amen. The Bible declares that there will come a day when he shall return and his feet are going to set down upon the top of the Mount of Olives, and that there's going to be an earthquake, and that mountain is going to split, and he will set up his earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. And we, amen, who have been redeemed and washed in the blood of the Lamb are going to rule and reign with him on this earth. His government will come, but Jesus was saying it's not time yet. And in order to keep them from forcing him and appointing him as their king and Messiah, he disperses the crowd and sends them away. And the apostles are so caught up in all of the miracle that they had saw, they too wanted to proclaim him as king. And he constrains them. He says, gentlemen, get in the boat and go to the other side. And he stayed there and went up into a mountain to pray. In the theater of your mind this morning, I want you to just begin to visualize the events as they begin to unfold. The disciples have reluctantly obeyed. They have got in the boat and they have left the presence of the Lord, and they have entered into the ship, and they are in the process of crossing over to the other side. And the Bible paints a very, very descriptive picture of what transpires. They are in the midst of the sea. They are in the midst of the ocean. Amen. When suddenly, or the Sea of Galilee, when suddenly a storm arises, and the Bible said that they were tossed to and fro with the winds, and the wind was so contrary that they could not control the vessel. They could not control the ship. Let me take a moment this morning to just simply point out, amen, the fact that the storm arose while they were smack dab in the will of God. Some people often have the idea that storms only come when we are outside the will of God, and storms only happen when we're being disobedient to God. I came to tell you this morning that sometimes the storm will come when you're right where you're supposed to be. Amen. I've had it happen in my own life. Amen. I've prayed and said, Lord, why don't you let me go do this or go do that or go do this thing? And the Lord said, just be still. Just be still. Just stay right where you are. Don't move. Don't budge. Amen. Yeah, but Lord, I'm going through hell and high water. Well, just hang on. It ain't over yet. And let me just tell you this morning, sometimes, amen, the storm will come when you're right smack dab in the will of God. If you don't believe me, ask Joseph. Sold into slavery, put in prison. Amen, put in prison. But he ends up being the second in command over all of Egypt. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, some of you may be sailing through a storm in your life, but it doesn't mean that you're not in the will of God. It doesn't mean that God doesn't know where you are. It just simply means, amen, that God has a plan. Hallelujah. Sometimes God allows us to go through the storm just so he can remind us that he is the master of the wind. Sometimes God allows us to go through the storms of life so that he can remind us that he is the master of the waves of blue Galilee. Sometimes, amen, we sail through the midst of the storm so he can remind us that he is in control. I came to tell you this morning, he is the master of the wind. He is the master of the storm. He is the master of the waves. Their lives may have been threatened, but Jesus knew where they were. Amen. He knew they were struggling for survival. He knew right where they were, and he knew they were in trouble, and he was making his way to them. I came to tell you this morning, you may be sailing through a storm today, but just hang on. Amen. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I can see it in my mind. They are struggling in the water. They're out there exactly where he told them to go. And they're about to perish. They're about to go down. The winds are contrary. The waves are beating against the ship. They were seasoned fishermen, but they couldn't control what was happening. It was out of their control. How long they struggled, the Bible does not say. What is clear is that they were exhausted mentally and physically. They were afraid. They were afraid for their life. And the Bible tells us that in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes walking to them on the sea. Somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Jesus comes walking to them on the water. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, can you imagine? Can you imagine being in a boat, being tossed to and fro, and you look out, and here comes Jesus walking on water. How many of you know you don't walk on water? But here he comes walking on the water. And the Bible said they were afraid. They were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. Maybe they thought it was the death angel from Exodus. Maybe they thought their life was in such peril that they were about to die. Maybe they thought the death angel was stepping out on the water and coming to take their life away. They thought, this is it. And Jesus says to them, be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. It is I. Be not afraid. I'm going to tell you something this morning. You can be going through a storm in your life and hear the voice of God, and that voice of the Lord can give you courage and give you faith and give you the ability to rise up and just face the adversity. Amen. No matter what it is. Several years ago, I think it was around the first part of 2010. The right side of my face decided to quit working. Bow. Just literally, my eye wouldn't voluntarily blink. I could smile. It was the strangest thing. I could smile, and this side of my face was just like nothing. And this side was, you know, all grins. My wife, we got ready to go to bed one night. She said, honey, are you all right? I went, yeah, I'm fine. I said, why? She said, you don't look all right. I said, I don't. She said, no, something ain't right. I got up, looked in the mirror, and I went, you're right, something ain't right. She said, do you think you've had a stroke? I said, no. I think it's Bell's palsy. I said, I feel fine. She got on the internet, and how many of you know that's really a dangerous thing to do? she got on the internet and they, you know, give you all these different things to do if you think you've had a stroke. I done all of them and I was just fine. I said, I think it's Bell's palsy. I've had friends that have had this same thing. And it has to do with some kind of cranial nerve on the, I don't know how it works, but that's that cranial nerve thing, it's pretty important. But I, you know, this side of my face was normal and this side just like it went on vacation. Just took a break. Finally, about 3 days later, she finally talked me into going to the doctor, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Yes, you've had a slight touch of Bell's palsy." I went, "Well, thank God it's not really severe," because everything just shut down. And for about, you know, 2 months, I think it was 2 months, 3 months, something like that. I lived with this. I just went on about my business. I mean, what are you going to do, right? I just went on about my business. I didn't have a lot of game. I've never had a lot of game, but, you know, I really didn't have. My modeling career was over. You know what I'm saying? So one day I'm headed to work, and the devil hops on my shoulder, and he says, "What if it doesn't straighten up? What if it doesn't turn to normal? What if it doesn't come back?" And I said, "You know, Lord, I felt like these disciples. I'm out here in the middle of the water, and I need some help." And the Lord spoke to my heart while I'm driving to work one morning as I was praying. And all he said was, "I got you." That's all he said was, "I got you." All the disciples heard was, "It is I. Be not afraid." He was saying, "Don't worry, I got you. I know where you are. I know what you're going through, and it's all right because I got you." I'm here to tell you something. When the Lord spoke to my spirit on the way to work that morning and said, "I got you," suddenly something snapped on the inside of me. And I went, "I am going to be all right. I'm not sure when, I'm not sure how, but I know sometime along the way, God is going to work it out." Hallelujah. I think that's what happened to Peter. When they're in the boat, the waves are crashing, and these are seasoned fishermen. They've done everything they can do, and they ain't helping the situation. It's just going from bad to worse. They're exhausted. Here comes this spirit. They think it's maybe the death angel. And all of a sudden, Peter hears the voice of the Lord and says, "Be not afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid. I got you." And something snapped on the inside of Peter. And he said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." That quick, come. And I want you to stop and think about this for a moment. Peter didn't, you know, turn around and look at the other guys and say, "You guys think I can do this? You guys think it'll be all right? You guys think I can walk on the water?" Amen. I want you to know this morning, amen, Peter, something snapped in him and faith arose in his spirit because of the word of the Lord. And Peter got out of the ship and began to walk on water just like Jesus said that he could. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, Jesus knew right where they were. He knew that they were in trouble. He knew that they were, amen, in a situation. And I got some good news for those of you that are sailing through the storms of life this morning. He knows right where you are, and he knows right what you need, and he knows that you're in trouble. And just one word from the Lord, amen, can make faith rise in your heart and rise in your spirit. And I got some good news for somebody today. Jesus, that same Jesus that came walking to the disciples on the sea, is coming to us this morning and say, "Be of good cheer. Amen. I got you. Everything is going to be all right." You have no reason to be afraid. You have no reason to fear. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Christ of Calvary. He is the master of the wind, and he still has the power to step down right in the middle of your circumstance and right in the middle of your situation and right in the middle of your storm and say, "Peace, be still," and bring calm into your heart. Hallelujah. Suddenly, when all hope seems lost, here comes Jesus walking on the water. When Peter heard the words of the Lord, faith leapt up in his spirit. Faith leapt within his heart. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, then bid me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." Peter doesn't turn around and ask the other disciples, "You think I can do this? You think this is a good idea?" He doesn't turn to the other guys and say, I'm going to go. He just simply slips a foot out of the ship and he begins to step down onto the water or onto the surface of the water. He paid no attention to the wind. He paid no attention to the waves. He paid no attention, amen, to the natural laws of gravity. He just took Jesus at his word and stepped out and began to walk on water. I came to tell you this morning, amen, we've got to change our thinking, amen, and instead of thinking in the natural realm and in the realm of the carnal, we've got to change our thinking and begin to think in the realm of the spiritual and begin to step out of our boat and out of our situation and begin to walk upon what the enemy has sent to kill us. Amen. He simply obeyed the word of the Lord. He simply obeyed what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Be not afraid, it is I." Amen. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat. And the question that begs to be asked is, what in the world was he thinking? I said it a moment ago, people don't walk on water. And even if Jesus could walk on water, what made Peter think he could walk on water? Hello? What in the world was he thinking? And the answer to that question is, he wasn't thinking. Sometimes we place so much priority on our thinking, and it simply gets us in trouble. Because oftentimes our thinking is contrary to the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Let me just tell you this morning that there are times that we need to change what we think. The Bible said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think you can't, you can't. It's a fact. If you think you can't, you can't. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the power of the Word of God. What made Peter think that he could walk on water? The Word of the Lord. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me come." And that one little word that Jesus said to him, "Come," gave Peter the faith to step out of the boat and begin to walk on water. Amen. And then you hear what I'm talking about this morning. Amen. That one little word, "Come," changed his mind. Amen. He got out of the realm of the natural and began to think in the realm of the supernatural. He got out of the realm of the impossible and began to think in the realm of the possible. I came to tell you this morning, if we're ever going to step out of the boat and begin to walk on our problem, then we've got to change the way we think about it. Amen. We've got to change our thought process. We've got to change our thought process. Peter wasn't thinking in the realm of logic. He wasn't thinking in the realm of reality or circumstance or with the mind of the flesh, but he was thinking with the mind of the Spirit. Jesus said, come, and that one little word empowered him to act. Every single circumstance, stop and think about it for a moment. Every single circumstance was against Peter. Every single law of nature was against Peter. The natural said, you can't do this. But one little word from God said you can, and he could. The word of the Lord was in his favor. The laws of nature were against him, but the word of Jesus came down on his side. And Peter stepped out of the boat and began to walk on water and began to walk toward the Lord. He moved beyond his circumstances. He moved beyond allowing his circumstances to dictate his thinking. And instead, he believed the word of the Lord. If we're ever going to receive from God this morning, amen, everything that God has for us and everything that God desires for us to accomplish, then we must stop looking in the realm of the natural and begin to, I'm preaching more to myself than I am to you this morning. We got to stop looking in the realm of the natural and begin to look into the realm of the supernatural and begin to believe God for that which is impossible. Amen. I came to tell you this morning that nothing is impossible with our God. And the only thing that'll limit him is our thinking. The only thing that will limit him is our thinking. Can you prove that with scripture, Pastor Gary? How many of you remember the children of Israel set free from Egypt's bondage? They are 1 year and 3 months later. They are standing at the banks of the Jordan River. They didn't wander in the wilderness for 40 years right off the bat. 1 year and 3 months later from leaving Egypt, they were on the banks of the Jordan River, ready to go in and possess what God said he was going to give them. And you know what happened? They started relying on their thinking. They sent in spies. 2 came back with a good report. 10 came back with an evil report and said, it's a good land, but let's be realistic. There are giants over there. And it's a good land, but we can't have it. And amen. And they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness after that, or allow that generation to die off who refused to go in. Some of the saddest scriptures in the word, I find it in Psalms chapter 78, verse number 1. This is what it says. It says, yea, they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they limit God? Because of their stinking thinking. How did they limit God? God said it was theirs, and their thinking said there is no way that we can have it. And they gave in to their thinking. And many of them had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of an unbelieving evil report. I came to tell you this morning that we need to change our thinking and move our natural thinking out of the way and think in the realm of possibility and in the realm of the Spirit, because when God gets involved, there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. When God gets involved, there is nothing that is impossible with God. When God gets involved, he'll knock down the walls of Jericho. When God gets involved, he'll part the Red Sea. When God gets involved, he'll rain bread out of heaven. When God gets involved, he'll change the situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Get out of the boat this morning. Take a step of faith and begin to receive the blessing that God has for you in your life. Amen. I pray this morning that you would just recognize that it is our thought process. It is our thinking that gets in the way. I prayed as I was studying and preparing for this message, and I said, Lord, how can I illustrate what I'm talking about? How can I illustrate how the mind gets in the way of the blessings of God? And this is what the Lord told me. He said, imagine a picture or a pitcher of ice water. Imagine, and I want you to imagine it this morning, imagine a picture or a jug of ice water. There's ice and all kinds of cool liquid floating around. And now imagine a bowl sitting on the table. And we're going to pour the pitcher or the contents of the pitcher into the bowl. But we're going to slip a colander in between. Now, how many of you know the only thing that's going to reach the bowl is just the water, because the colander is going to, it's going to keep the ice out. Hello? Can you see that in your mind? That's the way it is in our life. Think about it for a moment. The bowl is us. The pitcher of water is God. And our mind is the colander. And the only thing keeping us from receiving everything that God wants us to have is our thinking. Amen. Our doubtful mind, our doubtful heart, our doubtful thoughts. Amen. I came to tell you this morning, move the colander out of the way. Step out of the boat and begin to walk, amen, upon the things that have had you bound, and begin to live in the victory and the blessing and the peace of God. We'll only receive from God, amen, what we can believe for. Let me say that again. We'll only receive from God what we can believe Him for. Somebody told me one time, said, I don't want to talk with tongues like you Pentecostals. I said, don't worry about it. You never will. Because the Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. If you don't believe it, you'll never have it. Hello? Matthew chapter 9, verse number 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe all things, everybody say all things. All things are possible to him that believes. Amen. All things are possible. God desires to pour into our life. Amen. God desires for us to receive blessing. And God desires for us to enjoy the things that He has prepared for us. But in order for us to receive them, we've got to get the carnal thinking out of the way. In order for us to receive, we got to stop thinking in the realm of the possible and start believing and thinking in the realm of the impossible. I challenge you this morning, step out of the boat and take a step of faith and believe God's word, and God's word will change your situation. Hallelujah. Hebrews or Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20 said, unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. God's able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we can even ask or even think of. So why do we limit him with our, amen, our limited thinking? We need to renew our mind and start thinking in the realm of the Spirit. Amen. If God said it, then we can do it. If God said it, then we can have it. If God said it, then we can claim it. But the only way that we'll claim it is by transforming our mind and believing God for it. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, proving what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We need to have our mind transformed. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 23 said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We've got to have a renewing of our mind. When Peter heard the word of the Lord, it renewed his spirit. It renewed his mind. And he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And faith rose up in his spirit. And Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on water. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you want to walk on water, if you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. You've got to leave some of that natural thinking behind and begin to receive some things by faith. Begin to walk in the realm of the spiritual and not the realm of the carnal. Amen. And whatever you can believe God for, God said, you could have. Hallelujah. Believe him for the impossible. Believe him for the impossible. When Peter takes his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink. The Bible said, and beginning to sink. Stop and think about that for a moment. How many of you know, if you've ever spent any time around water, things do not begin to sink. I mean, they drop like a rock. Can you say amen? But the Bible clearly tells us that and beginning to sink slowly, Peter started going down. You know why? Because he got his eyes off of Jesus. And he got his eyes on something else. He got his eyes on the natural instead of the supernatural. But I love this part about the story. Even though he's on his way down, he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately grabs a hold of his hand and lifts him up. And the scripture said immediately they were in the boat. And if you read the book of John, chapter 6, if you read the book of John, the Bible says not only were they immediately in the boat, but they were immediately at land. Really? They were immediately, as soon as Jesus gets a hold of him, they're immediately in the boat and immediately at land. That's powerful stuff. And the Bible says the disciples come to him and fall at his feet and said, of a truth, you are the Son of God. Of a truth, you are the Son of God. I want to challenge you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord desires to challenge you this morning. If you are sailing through a storm in your life, good news, he knows where you are. He knows what you need, and he knows that you're in trouble. And he has a word for you today. Trust in the Lord. Trust in his word. Step out of your boat and begin to tread upon the things that have had you bound. Step out of your boat and begin to walk upon the things in victory of those things that you have struggled with. Every head is bowed this morning and every eye is closed. It is my prayer this morning that God will move our carnal thinking out of the way. God is trying to get a miracle to us. Stop thinking this morning in the realm of the possible and begin to think in the realm of the supernatural. Begin to think in the realm of the possible. Because with our God, all things are possible. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus, your Son. Lord, those who are struggling with situations and circumstances and problems in their life, the storms of life that have come, and they are sailing and troubled with these things, I pray, oh God, right now, by your Holy Spirit, as you come to us this morning, as you come to us this morning, Lord, I pray that you will speak peace, be still to the storm. That you would speak a word of faith in our heart that would cause us to understand in our spirit that everything shall be all right. Help us to step out of our boat boldly, believing God for the impossible. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts today. Jesus, speak to our hearts today. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you're preaching to me this morning. You're preaching to me. God sees your hand and yours and yours. God sees hands being lifted. Mighty, mighty God. Oh, mighty God. Amen. Is there anyone else you'd be willing to slip up your hand and say, Lord, I'm stepping out of the boat today. I'm stepping out of the boat today. God sees that hand. Stand all over the building to your feet, please. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. If you lifted your hand this morning and you would like to have prayer, I'm going to ask you to step out in the nearest aisle. Come and stand here in the front this morning. If you lifted your hand, said, Lord, I'm stepping out of my boat, step out of your seat. If you said, I'm stepping out of my boat, then step out of your seat.